on this episode of RevHang.
Nice. Yeah, this is the biggest W Alpine's going to have is on our made-up pit stop championship.
Yeah, listen to the podcast, but don't listen to me. Just listen to Ben, because he is the one with the words of wisdom.
Listen, I am not the one who throws the most shade at Perez. It's Nathan. You have to believe me.
We are here to shade on Sergio Perez. That's why we're here. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RevHang. I'm Nathan, as always. And as always, as well, alongside me is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing pretty good. I just got off work. We're doing this on a Monday because I had a little scheduling conflict, as I want to do. So I just got off of work, and it will be a nice time to relax and talk about some racing and maybe other things. Who knows? I'm going to try to get Nathan off track today.
Oh, boy. Okay. That will be fun, I'm sure. I'm also just getting off work. Monday things, and yep. I will still try to have this up by Tuesday afternoon. So I've got a long night ahead of me of editing, which is fine.
That's my hero right there.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is not a scheduling / editing podcast. This is, in fact, a racing podcast, so let's just dive right in to the Japanese Grand Prix. This is the only race we had this week. I don't anticipate a super long episode this week, so you'll have to get your distractions in quickly, Ben.
I got this.
Okay.
Just wait till you hear my words of wisdom. You're going to be shocked and stunned.
I cannot wait. All right. First off, let's go through the top 10 in qualifying. On pole position, to everyone's surprise, was Max Verstappen, followed by Sergio Perez in second, and Lando Norris in third. Fourth and fifth were Sainz and Alonso. Sixth was Piastri. Seventh was Hamilton. Eighth was Leclerc. Ninth was Russell. And tenth, rounding off Q3, was Yuki Tsunoda. Just bumping Daniel Ricciardo out in Q2.
Once again.
Yeah. Yeah, so Tsunoda's killing it when it comes to qualifying. Has out-qualified Ricciardo every race this year so far, I believe.
Cue the Daniel Ricciardo fans making the Aaron Paul, "He can't keep getting away with this"
meme. Yeah. Yeah, Daniel Ricciardo fans are not having a good year. And I don't anticipate their year's going to get much better.
Him and Williams fans.
Yeah, yeah, there's some rough years going around. Alpine fans are having a rough one.
Yeah,
surprisingly,
fans now.
Surprisingly, Haas fans, I think, are having a fantastic
year.
They're
eating right now. Hülkenberg fans are just punching the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Haas is killing it right now. compared to where they have been, I should say. Being a solid middle of the midfield team is a huge step forward.
Yeah, actually being able to, you know, count on one of them potentially scoring points every race, even if it's just one point, is massive.
Yeah, for sure. Very big. So with all that being said, let's drive right into the race. Verstappen maintained the lead on the start. And then, very quickly, Daniel Ricciardo hit Alex Albon into Turn 3, sending both of them into the wall and causing a red flag. First red flag of the season, I believe. Am I wrong? I think it's the first one.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Australia doesn't count.
Right. I don't think there was a red flag, right, in Australia?
Because it was the last lap.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a red flag. It was just a virtual safety car to end the race.
Oh, yeah, the race finish up. Yeah. You're right.
Right. Okay. That was quickly cleaned up. It was actually a very short red flag, thankfully.
Yeah, especially since I was watching that one live at 10 p.m.
Yeah. Verstappen was able to maintain his lead from Perez and Norris on the restart. Skipping to lap 14. Yuki Tsunoda passed Gasly around the outside of Turn 6, an absolutely fantastic pass. On lap 17, Lando Norris passed Lewis Hamilton for P4, and on that same lap, Perez passed Hamilton for P5 into 130R. On lap 18, Norris passed Russell into turn 1 for P3, and Perez passed him for P4, also into 130R. Sainz made his way slowly through the field, but surely, on a fantastic strategy. He had a pretty lonely race, but did very well. On lap 22, Perez drove down the inside of Norris, or dove down the inside of Norris, I should say, to take P3 into the final chicane. On lap 23, 5 cars pitted at the same time, causing absolute havoc in the pit lane. Tsunoda came out the best from that group.
It would have been really cool if the race director actually showed us that live.
Yeah, we kind of got Lance Stroll, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we saw, I don't remember what they had on screen, but it wasn't nearly as exciting as 5 cars pitting simultaneously.
Especially for those last points.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of disappointing to not see that live. We did see the replay, but it's not quite the same.
Not the same.
Moving on lap 42, Logan Sargeant ran wide off the track, but was able to continue his race after backing precariously onto the track. Sitting on the racing line for several seconds. It's a good thing Fernando Alonso was paying attention.
Yeah, Fernando Alonso's always paying attention, I think.
This is true. This is very, very true. But still could have ended badly. I mean, he was in the worst spot he could possibly be in.
Yeah.
But nothing bad happened to anybody but Sargeant, so I guess that's the good news. On lap 46, Sainz passed Leclerc for P3. Leclerc also on a fantastic strategy. And on the last lap, Russell passed Piastri for P7.
Yeah, Ferrari just casually starting to have insane pit stops and decent strategy.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. For sure. This was an entertaining race. Not the best, for sure. Definitely not the worst. Lots of watching midfield the fight action.
Watching the fight for like 10th was super exciting when it was between, you know, those 5 drivers. And watching the restart was kind of entertaining. But aside from that, I actually was a little underwhelmed. I feel like not a lot extra exciting happened in it.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to write out the highlights for this race because it really, like, not a lot seemed to happen. There were a lot of overtakes, but I feel like we missed a lot of them.
Yeah, this will go down as one of the races this season, for sure.
Yes, I think this may be one of the more forgettable races this year, and that is a shame because Japan is a fantastic track and usually delivers bangers.
Yep.
But this race this year was not a banger, and that's okay. I'm sure we will have bangers for the rest of the season.
We have like 70 more races this season, so we got 10.
Yeah, yeah. I am excited for China. China's a great track, and it's been a long time since we've been there. Half the field, it seems like, hasn't even raced there yet.
I've never seen a live race there.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever watched China live either. Because 2020 was the first season I watched in its entirety. I only watched a couple races from 2019. So yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a live race in China either, but I've played plenty of it because I played F1 2019. I have many hours in that, and so I know the track, and nice. It's very exciting.
I look forward to your insight on that then.
Yeah, the first couple corners are very awesome. Like, it's a super long right-hander that, like, almost spirals in on itself, and then it turns into a left-hand hairpin. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an older track, isn't it?
I don't know how old it is. I mean, it's...
I mean, in terms it's not, of, like, spa old, I'm sure, but...
No, for sure. It's newer in terms of relative to other racetracks. On the calendar, I'd say probably maybe late 2000s, early 2010s is when it showed up.
Oh, okay. Not as old as I was thinking then. I was thinking like 90s for some reason, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, it was designed by Herman Tilke, who is responsible for like the Turkish Grand Prix track, Circuit of the Americas, a lot of other tracks that I am forgetting right now. But I think, yeah, late 2000s probably is when it was built.
Okay.
If I were to guess. But yeah, you're getting me sidetracked, Ben. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
all right, let's go.
Main break.
Right. It's going to be a long main break this episode, I think.
Oh, man.
I've got multiple, so. All right. Going into the results, Max Verstappen won the race by a comfortable margin, 12.5 seconds. To second place, Sergio Perez. And then third place, Carlos Sainz. Fourth and fifth were Leclerc and Norris. Sixth through tenth were Alonso, Russell, Piastri, Hamilton, and Tsunoda, scoring points in his home race. The first Japanese driver to do so since 2012, I believe they said. It was Kimi Kobayashi, who was the last one to score points, and he finished on the podium. So not quite that good of a drive from Tsunoda, but still very impressive in that RB. I think it's kind of hard to tell where the RB is on pace.
Yeah, it's so dependent on driver at this point. Like,
yeah,
is Tsunoda just out driving the car, or is... Yeah, it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell with a lot of the midfield teams. I feel like more than ever this season, it seems like the tracks matter so much. Like, mm-hmm. The cars are very track specific. So in Bahrain,
aside
for
from
instance,
the Alpines.
Right. Yeah, they're always bad.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't as bad in Australia, though, which is interesting. They weren't great, but they weren't as bad. But cars like Mercedes looked fine in Bahrain, and then they've just looked absolutely nowhere for the rest of the season so far. In fact, I would say Aston Martin is probably the faster car compared to the Mercedes, and they would be ahead of Mercedes in the championship right now if Lance Stroll was not orders of magnitude worse than Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
Is that harsh? Maybe. Is it true? Also, maybe. All right. Anyway, moving on. 11 through 15. 11 through 15. We got Nico Hülkenberg, Lance Stroll in 12th, Magnussen, Bottas, and Ocon. 16 and 17 rounding off the finishers were Gasly and Sargeant. And then we had three DNFs, and it was Zhou Guan Yu for Kick Sauber. Had a gearbox failure, and then Ricardo and Albon, who crashed out on the first lap. All right. So, Verstappen, still dominating every race, except for Australia when his car broke. It's going to be another one of those seasons, I think.
Yep. I know some Max fans were disappointed that he get a chance to break the win streak record, but he will have literally two more chances this season before it ends, so I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll break it again, but yeah, he has plenty of opportunity to do so. I do think that Ferrari is a lot closer to Red Bull this year than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's gonna... I mean, Verstappen still won the race by 12 seconds and probably didn't even have to try that hard, so...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think we were seeing the tire dig on his car quite as much as we were on, like, Lewis Hamilton's car. He was just absolutely fighting for it.
Yeah. I think one of the funniest things is that Red Bull has all these super top-name sponsors that are probably a little upset because even though their car is winning consistently, they're getting absolutely no TV time.
Yeah.
Max and Checo are out on their own, and there's no action around them, so the TV's not going to focus on them. So you never see the sponsors until... you see the sponsors at the beginning of the race and at the end of the race, and that's about it.
Much better to be a Mercedes.
Mercedes, McLaren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Upper midfield.
Sure. Yeah, but I think it's kind of always been that way, too. Seems like the closer you are to other people, the more action there's going to be and the more screen time you're going to get. So, any sponsors out there looking to sponsor F1 teams, I am definitely an expert, and I would say you want to put your sponsorship on probably the Aston Martin because the McLaren's already crowded. So Yeah. Aston Martin. Haha. You're welcome. I'm probably getting you millions of dollars just by saying this.
There you go.
Probably not, but it's fine. All right. Carlos Sainz, absolutely killing it this year.
Yeah, dude has been on an absolute stomping. No, I don't, what was I going to say? Unregard, come back to me when I can talk.
I have unregarded.
Thank you.
Okay, Ferrari is actually doing very well this season. Carlos Sainz, like we said, is killing it. I would say probably outdriving Leclerc. I don't think that's even super debatable right now. He's just been the fastest driver in that car. Ferrari has killed it on strategy all season, especially this race.
Mm-hmm.
Their pit stops have been top tier.
They had what, like a 2 second pit stop?
Something like race? That. We'll get to that in the pit stop championship, but they were up there. Yeah, Ferrari is looking solid so far this year. I know it's only a matter of time until they do Ferrari things, but
it's fun for now.
The Ferrari hope, I think, is lingering a little longer than it usually does for the season.
Yeah, we don't have to take the Tifosi off life support just yet.
Yeah, not yet. They can stay on the hype train. But unlike Ferrari, Mercedes is not looking great this year. In fact, I would argue they are very much a midfield team this year with two very good drivers.
Yeah, it's like watching your favorite Bundesliga team just get relegated like time after time, season after season. Like they get close towards the end and then they just get sent back every single time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a soccer guy or a football if you're listening anywhere else in the world. But, yeah, I can only imagine the relegation is stressful every season. We don't really have, like, anything like that in the States.
You can watch on, or you can talk to Andreas for that.
Yeah. Is he a big Bundesliga guy?
He's my German soccer fan. My favorite German soccer fan.
Yeah. FC Bayern is probably my favorite team if I had to pick one. I watch their games occasionally. I don't really watch Premier League at all. I just don't watch soccer.
Yeah, no, all but, I know is that at this point, I think I'm actually contractually obligated to cheer for Stuttgart after living with them for a while. So that's all I know.
Gotcha. Makes sense. You are continuously sidetracking me, Ben. You're doing what you set out to do.
Yeah.
I will say most of my soccer knowledge comes from playing FIFA. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but that's just the way it is.
Oh, it's been so long since I played FIFA.
Yeah.
Anyways. Well,
anyways, moving on. Lance Stroll, also struggling this season. He had his moments on the radio.
GP2 engine.
Yeah, a certified GP2 engine moment. I don't know, dude. He's nowhere close to Alonso. Hasn't been the entire season. Somehow has 9 points. I don't even know how. But Alonso is just out driving him to the absolute max, and it's not even close.
I think his main saving grace right now and where he got those 9 points from is he is in a car that is at least it is generally as fast as the Mercedes in the right hands.
Like yeah.
He's still driving an upper midfield car.
Oh, yeah. I'd say the top three are definitely Red Bull, Ferrari, and McLaren, and that's what the championship shows, too. But I put Mercedes and Aston Martin at the top of the midfield,
mm-hmm.
probably in reverse order. I'd probably put Aston Martin as the faster car. And, yeah, in the right hands... like, if we had two of Fernando Alonso's driving, I would give the edge to Aston Martin for sure.
Yeah.
Both top of the midfield. Then you get kind of further back. You got the RB, Haas, Williams are probably pretty close to each other. Williams might be a little further behind. Haas.
RB, Haas, and then for sure Williams, and then... Which team do you think is the worst between Alpine and Steak or Sauber.
Which team or which car?
which car?
Let's well, the car. I think the Alpine is easily the worst car on the grid.
Okay.
Sauber is just shooting themselves in the foot every week because they they just like do fine. They get up close towards points and then they just blow it all up.
Throw
it's
it all,
all self-inflicted. Yeah,
it's insane. Yeah. Did you see the article that they said they know what the problem with their pit stops is, but it's going to take like 3 to 4 races to fix it?
How?
What problem could you possibly have with your pit team that will require a number of races to address?
I don't even know. How?
Like, I don't have a source. It might have been revealed to me in a dream. I'm not sure, but I'm sticking with it.
Huh.
I'm fairly certain that I've seen that headline somewhere.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't speak on that, but I don't know what problem they could possibly have with their pit stops that would take 3 to 4 races to resolve. Other than maybe if they designed their wheel nuts differently and it's messing everything up.
Oh, can you imagine?
Because it's always the wheel nuts that's the problem. So that's the only thing I can think of. But I would think that the wheel nuts are going to be a homologated item. That just seems something that every team has the same. I don't know.
Here we go. Okay, the article is from Motorsport. So, grain of salt here.
You want to throw it up on the screen, Ben?
Yeah, let me... There we go. So, this is according to Bottas, apparently, saying that the issue is not 100% fixed and might not even be sorted until after the Chinese Grand Prix.
Wow.
The problem concerns wheel nuts getting cross-threaded during changes. Apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're dead on with that prediction. But it sounds like they're making progress on modifications made to the procedure and some of the materials they could use.
Okay, but yeah, so then it's probably not homologated then.
No. So he's saying that there's 100% a fix planned, hopefully, for China.
Okay.
But you could see their stops weren't catastrophic at this recent Grand Prix. But they were definitely slower. Just to, I think, avoid any risk of terrible things happening.
Right. Well, you know, it's bad when you see a 4-second pit stop from Steak and you're like, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
And you look down expecting to see a 2 and it's still a 4 and you're like, oh, I think I have some bias here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're struggling for sure. The pit stops have been the death of them. And just reliability in general. So I don't know if they'll be able to sort it out or get it fixed or figured out in the near future, but here's hoping.
Yeah, they need some win.
I just saw what you threw up over there.
Thanks.
All right. Daniel Ricciardo. Where do we start?
He's struggling.
It's not good. He completely took Albon out of the race. It was declared a racing incident after they investigated it after the race was over. I agree with that. I think it was 100% Ricciardo's fault, but also 100% a racing incident. He just turned into Albon and threw both cars off the circuit. So, yeah, there was kind of chaos around him, but also it wasn't that crazy. He wasn't that close to Stroll on the left. He just didn't see Albon, I think, is what happened there, through and through.
Yeah.
But that's not what he needed for this season.
No, especially not... Wait, are we 3 or 4 races in?
This is the 4th race.
Four races in.
Yeah. I think his seat is in real trouble right now in terms of, like, even before the end of the season.
Yeah, I know this is a team that is not afraid to swap drivers in and out in the middle of the season. We saw that last season. That's how Daniel got here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. They don't have patience with drivers, really. There's been rumors flying around since after the second race that he would be dropped for Liam Lawson before the end of the season. I sort of believed him, was skeptical. Now I am a lot less skeptical. Every race that goes on, it just seems like he's not the driver he used to be, which is sad. I would have loved to have watched prime Daniel Ricciardo. But I think he doesn't have it anymore.
I think those days are behind us.
Yeah, so there's some rumors on where he would go if he did leave Formula One. Couple options, IndyCar being one of them. That would be cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I don't want to... I hate having to refer to IndyCar as, you know, oh, it's the place where F1 drivers go to retire. But it would be cool to see him there.
I don't think that's what it is. I think it's a different thing. I think it's a completely different entity. Yes, a couple of F1 drivers have gone there. I wouldn't say... Because if you think about series that take failed F1 drivers, like, that's going to be Formula E.
I forgot about
World
Formula
Endurance,
E.
World Endurance Championship. I think calling Romain Grosjean a failed F1 driver is probably fair. I wouldn't call Marcus Ericsson a failed F1 driver.
No.
He was in a Sauber, and he got dropped because Kimi Raikkonen was joining the team. And, well, I guess also Giovinazzi that year, who was a highly regarded talent at the time, and still is a very talented racing driver. Didn't really make waves in Formula One, but he just won Le Mans last year, so...
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why WEC is very attractive to a lot of people. I mean, Sebastian Vettel is flirting with the idea of driving for Porsche this year. So, I mean, I could see Daniel, I don't know, I don't think he'll go to WEC, I don't think he'll go to Formula E. I see him in IndyCar, NASCAR, or V8 Supercars in Australia.
V8 Supercar would be awesome.
That might actually get me to watch the series.
Yeah.
Seeing Ricciardo in there. That's where Scott McLaughlin, the IndyCar driver, made his name.
Yeah, honestly, seeing him go to, like, V8 Supercar and NASCAR would be, honestly... more entertaining for me than seeing him join IndyCar.
Yeah. I don't know how well the IndyCar thing would go. He's also made it clear that he is very afraid of ovals, so I don't know if he would do ovals, which means he's probably not going to ever fight for the championship if he never did ovals. But yeah, I think NASCAR would be really cool. He's driven here. He's flirted with the idea of driving a NASCAR. I think he's had some tests. But, I mean, I think Red Bull has... I don't know if they have a NASCAR team, but I know they are a primary sponsor for at least one team.
Yeah. Or throw man in a NASCAR Truck Cup Series.
Yeah. I mean, he's got connections. I mean, it's... Of course he's got connections. He's one of the most well-known racing drivers in the world. I think he's, like, the third or fourth most followed F1 driver on all the socials right now.
Yeah, I honestly, he could probably get away with just doing a different racing sport every season if he wanted to.
Maybe.
Daniel Ricciardo's world tour.
That'd be cool. I see him in the States most likely, maybe Australia in supercars, but we will have to see. Maybe he stays in F1, maybe he has a resurgence in the next few races. I just don't really see that happening.
Get sent to race at the back with Bottas at Sauber.
Yeah. That would, I don't know. All right. Albon is single-handedly destroying Williams. That's a little bit much there, but
that's a great clickbait title.
Two chassis that he's demolished and have to go to get repaired at the factory. costing huge sums of money to their team and for both repairs and freight.
I was so worried when Sargent took it off the track this race.
If
like,
they
don't let him do it to you.
If they broke both chassis in that one race, that would have been devastating.
So did that crash with Ricardo actually cause chassis damage to Albon's car?
Yep.
Or Logan's car, rather.
Yeah. So Alex Albon was driving Logan Sargeant's chassis this week, and vice versa. Alex then crashed Logan Sargeant's chassis through no fault of his own, to be fair. But there is chassis damage, and it does need to go back to the factory for repairs, just like last time. So that's two chassis down. Still waiting on that new third one that they're supposedly making.
They don't have time. They're building the old ones again.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I think this is going to set Williams back a lot more than one might. Well, it might seem from an outside spectator.
This is starting to look like impacting next season's financials.
If we get a couple more of these big crashes, Williams might not be in the best shape for next season even.
Sucks because the car was looking really promising last year. At least it had the straight line speed, and I was excited to see if they could put together a little more cornering power. And then, of course, we found out that they're designing their car in inventory with an Excel spreadsheet. It's all downhill from there.
Right, yeah. I think their goal, they're really looking at 2026.
Engine regs.
To get that jump on the rest of the field. I think James Vowles is a very good, he's a very smart dude, and I think that is what he's looking at. Not super worried about this year, not super worried about next year. As long as he can keep his job, which I don't doubt he will. You can't tell me that guy is not the perfect leader for that team.
I have a lot more faith in him when he says they're focusing on the 2026 car than I do Haas when they say they're focusing on the 2022 car.
Yeah, exactly. He inspires confidence, even if the team isn't quite there yet. I think they will be, or at least I think they will make a step forward in the new regs. I really hope. I would love to see Williams get back in there. It's such a legendary team. They've got a mastermind at the helm. I think all of this, honestly, is just securing Albon's seat in Williams. Because I don't think Williams is going to get rid of Albon. He's still a very good driver. But I think these crashes will move
like a
eyes off of
fallacy?
Albon.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going like sunk cost fallacy with Albon. It's like, we've invested so much money in him, we can't get rid of him.
No, I wasn't going to go there, but I was going to say, if you're Red Bull and you were looking at Albon and now he's just destroyed two cars in a row, you're looking, I think, a lot closer at Sainz now. Mercedes, same thing. You're maybe looking at Kimi Antonelli. I know it was on their radar. Fernando Alonso has said that Mercedes isn't super attractive to him since he feels that the Aston Martin is faster anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a few other drivers now that might be ahead of Albon for Mercedes. And then I feel like anything else for him is kind of a lateral move. In which case you would want to just stay at Williams.
Yeah.
I would say the only thing that I could see happening is if Alonso goes somewhere else, then maybe Aston Martin picks up Albon. I don't know. We're really waiting for the first domino to fall on the silly season.
That's going to change. That's going to determine everything. I think it'll be a lot easier to figure out from there.
Yeah. Whenever the Red Bull seat is announced, everything is going to move very quickly.
Yep.
That's what everybody's waiting for right now, is waiting for Red Bull. Because everybody obviously wants that seat, and so they're not going to sign with any other team until that seat is no longer available.
Yeah, whether it's Perez or somebody outside of the team.
Right, and I still think Perez has a very good shot at it, especially after seeing him this year.
I think, yeah, I mean, he has the best shot out of anybody.
Yeah.
Obviously, but...
I was going to add another talking point, but we're going to have the reverse Perez slander this week. Perez praise hour. Yeah, I know we just kind of got on his back after Australia, but apparently he had massive floor damage in that race, so you can't really take too much from that after more info has come out. But I'd say the first two races and Japan, he's done exactly what he needs to do. Qualified second here in Japan. Best qualifying in a while, I think, for Perez. If he can keep up the good form, I mean, the seat's really his to lose. The problem is this happens every year where he starts off really well, and then around about Monaco is when things start going downhill.
Yep.
So
yeah, and Red Bull really needs him to be, you know, in that P2 qualifying spot so they can, you know, cook up their strategies together and have the two drivers being able to support each other.
Yeah.
It's just like that extra insurance they need.
Yeah. Which he's been able to do this year so far. So as of right now, Perez is making a very strong case for keeping him. The only thing is Carlos Sainz.
He's such a fast guy. He's just the fastest guy.
I mean, you look at Perez and you think, okay, consistent-ish, good enough to take home P2 most of the time, at the very least in the championship. Very good on tires. Maybe not the guy if Red Bull starts falling back. That's what I'm concerned about, is if Red Bull is all of a sudden very close, say the Red Bull and the Ferrari become very close performance-wise, is Perez going to be able to stay in that second spot? And I don't think so.
Yeah, and you have to think too, you know, how long is Max Verstappen really going to stay in F1?
Yeah, I think 2028.
It doesn't seem like it's something he's super, super interested in. He has a contract, yeah, through 2028, but after that, I mean, he'd go do anything.
Oh, yeah, I don't think he stays past 2028 for sure. He might leave earlier, but...
Yeah, is Perez, A, going to stay in F1 also that long and be the guy to lead the team? But Carlos Sainz seems a lot more like the kind of guy who could lead a team.
Oh, absolutely. Perez is in his mid-30s now. Never been a super great attacking driver. Very good defensively, obviously. He's got the nickname, the Mexican Minister of Defense. Great defensive driver. Not a super great attacker. A very poor qualifier, if I can be completely frank. I think if you want the consistency, you want someone who will be up there with Max, I would take Carlos Sainz. It's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you have to... I think if you're not going to get him now, you're not going to get him ever. So going into 2026, I think, is what they need to be thinking about. Because who knows what the car is going to be like that year. I mean, the new regs could completely shake up the field like they did last year, or last when in 2022 when they changed. So I think you want the absolute best pairing you can possibly have, even if they are going to butt heads a little bit, which I think is the one thing they have to consider with Sainz.
Yep.
Is I think Sainz is good enough to take the fight to Max, unlike most other drivers.
Yeah. Also, I would like to point out, we started out with the Perez praise hour, and we are now in the Red Bull should sign Sainz hour.
Yes, this is true. yeah, we had to stop it at some point just to solidify that we still hate Perez, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we hate him. He's just the worst.
Yeah. Sarcasm, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, Perez is doing very well. Well,
yeah, moral of the story is he did great this race, and he did exactly what he needed to in qualifying and during the race.
Yes.
And I hope that he can keep it up.
I think right now he needs to be concerned not just with being on Red Bull next season, but being on the grid next season. I think he needs to, if he can keep driving well, I think he'll land on a team further down the order if Sainz replaces him. But if he has an off season like he did last year, that becomes a little more sketchy, I think.
Yep. Bro's got to lock in.
Yeah. So there's a few places he could go, but let's not get too sidetracked on that. Ben, you're doing so good.
It's content. We need the content. We're at 40 minutes. We can do it.
40 minutes. All right. Speaking of 40 minutes with no relation, let's go to a meme break.
Oh, yes. The old 40-minute meme break.
Yes. So I will go first.
Yeah.
Although I love your meme you've got there, Ben.
Thanks.
So
just found it.
Starting off with not a meme you'll find anywhere on the internet, but messages between Ben and myself during the race. Ben, would you like to start off with your narration?
Yeah, hold on. Let me bring your screen up. Ah, yes. Very cool. Yeah, so this was at the start of the race. I was like, oh my gosh, Sargeant is literally driving the car. Guys, he's actually doing it. He's driving the car. He's racing at Suzuka. This is not a drill.
Yes. Literally and driving then, the car. And then I did not see the message until after the race was over. Then I messaged him back, top 10 messages that aged poorly, because I could tell that he sent that before Sargeant had his
excursion. Like 20 laps in. I was like, oh, we're so back. We're so in it.
Yeah. So, top 10 messages that aged poorly, and then Ben with his response, for real, for real.
Yeah, we went from it so back to it so over in about 30 laps.
Yeah,
crushing.
It was, yeah, a shame, a real shame. It would have been nice to see him finish in 11th, probably, is where he would have ended up.
I mean, that's where Albon finished last week, so...
Yeah. All right.
Last race, whenever it was.
Next meme up. Got this. I sent this to you, Ben.
Yeah.
I love this so much. I should have brought up the clip of the radio. If you were watching the race, I think you'll probably remember Lance Stroll's radio message. The meme is just a picture of a cat screaming, and the caption is just high-pitched screaming, and Lance Stroll on the radio. Yeah.
Lance Stroll had his GP2 engine moment, except he's actually driving one of the fastest midfield cars this year, so...
Yeah, he was not happy with how slow his car was on the straights. I think he had a very different setup than Alonso did, is what they were saying. So maybe that had something to do with it, but he
was not happy.
He was wearing his emotions on his sleeve there. And next up, my last meme, I've got this. Russell behind Alonso on the final lap, and it's a picture of a dog having
PTSD flashback.
Yeah, PTSD flashbacks. So, of course, Russell finished the race right behind Alonso, and we all know what happened when Russell was behind Alonso in Australia.
Australia moment.
Yeah, so, of course, Russell is spelled wrong in this picture, but, you know, it's Reddit. We'll give them a break. Yeah. All right, Ben, you got memes for me?
Oh, yeah. It's my turn.
Okay.
So, given Daniel's performance, I think it's time for the references to good old Gotifi and his business school endeavors. And I could just hear him calling Daniel from whatever school he's going to. He's like, join us. Get your MBA. Come back to school. Daniel, come on. It's fun. We go to parties and drink. Come on, Daniel. It'll be a lot of fun to go to business school. You don't have to race anymore.
Yeah.
And then, what was another one? Oh, yeah. So, I also have noticed this. I can actually remember parts of the Dutch national anthem now.
Uh-huh.
Almost as, like, probably second best as of any national anthem that I know. Aside from, of course, the American national anthem.
Yeah, as Americans, whoever, we hear it a bit.
Yeah, whoever invented Max Verstappen is making huge money from the Dutch national anthem.
Yes, this is true. Yeah. All right, Ben, is that all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got. I'll give you back control.
Okay, perfect. All righty. That runs off the main break for this week. We had a few. I think we had good stuff. I could not stop laughing when I was scrolling through Formula Dank, or r/Formula Dank, after the race. There's always good stuff, especially right after the race is over. That's when the best content hits.
Highest quality stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. Highly recommend Ditch Drive to Survive. Don't Sue Me Netflix. And go subscribe yourself to Formula Dank on Reddit.
Yeah, become a Reddit user. That's way better.
Yes, much better for your mental health than Netflix. Anyways, this is not. This is not medical advice. I'm gonna get myself sued in 4 easy steps.
I sentence you to watching 8 hours of "Am I the Asshole" subreddit.
Oh yeah. There's some good stuff in that one too.
You will not survive.
No, I won't. All right, let's move on to the championship standings. Not much has changed. First and second are Verstappen and Perez. Perez actually only 13 points behind Verstappen. I guess that's because of the DNF. A little closer than I thought it was going to be. And then we have Leclerc, only 5 points behind Perez. And Sainz, 4 points behind Leclerc. I thought Sainz would leapfrog Leclerc in this one, but I guess that did not happen.
Leclerc got a pretty good chunk of... Oh, no, Sainz finished 3rd. I forgot.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was flip-flopped.
Yeah, no. So, okay. I thought Sainz was going to jump Leclerc on this race, but that didn't happen, so...
Yeah, weird.
We'll see. All right. Next up, we got Lando Norris in 5th and Oscar Piastri in 6th. Pretty close to each other. And then 7th is George Russell, tied with Fernando Alonso in 8th. Russell has a higher finish this season, though, so that's where the tiebreaker is. Trying not to sneeze actively. Don't mind me. And then Lewis Hamilton in 9th and Lance Stroll in 10th. Then 11 through 15 are Tsunoda, Behrman, Hulkenberg, Magnussen, and Albon. And then 16 through 21 are Zhou, Ricciardo, Ocon, Gasly, Bottas, and Sargent. What'd you send me, Ben?
A meme.
A meme? Okay.
Yeah, we don't have to share it. It's just for you and me.
Okay. Our secret memes.
Yeah. The secret meme page.
The secret meme page. Don't worry about it being on Formula Dank, which I just advertised. It's our secret meme page. All right.
If we had 1,000 followers, we could have a Discord where we share memes that we find and make.
It would not take 1,000, Ben.
Oh, okay. If we had 100 followers.
That's probably more like it, yeah. We'll get there. We're getting there. We're up to 16 subscribers. 16 whopping subscribers on YouTube.
Hey,
and one follower on Rumble. Hello, Rumble follower.
Yeah, that means there has to be people that I don't know because I don't have 16 friends.
That is a fair assessment of the situation, Ben. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Constructors, we got Red Bull Racing in 1st, followed by Ferrari and McLaren. Mercedes and Aston Martin, 6 through 10 are RB, Haas, Williams, Alpine, and Sauber. RB is looking very good this year, or more specifically, Yuki Tsunoda is looking very good this year, as Daniel Ricciardo is yet to score points, which just hurts to say. All right. Pit Stop Championship, 1st place, also Max Verstappen. with a time of 2.08 seconds, he is inevitable. He will win everything.
Okay, so it's Red Bull. Okay. Not Ferrari.
Yeah, Red Bull was first, and then Perez was second. Norris was the third fastest, and then Ferrari was fourth with Sainz. Then we had Gasly, Alonso, Ocon, Russell, Sargeant, and Stroll. Leclerc had a pretty slow pit stop at 2.46 seconds. Not slow, but not top 10.
Yeah, let's be real. There's still a stake. Sauber kick.
Yes, and Haas had a stinker. Kevin Magnussen's best pit stop that race was 5.41 seconds. And Bottas's best pit stop was 4.06. And then Guanyu Zhou had a sub-3-second pit stop, which feels like...
That's blistering.
It's very fast.
You gotta slow down before something goes wrong.
Yeah. Sub-3 for Sauber is quite the accomplishment there.
It's almost a miracle.
Now we're on the Sauber shade train.
Yeah.
That's okay. No, they probably deserve it more than Perez does, to be honest. But anyway, let's move on to the standings. Perez is leading this championship by 5 points, followed by Verstappen and Leclerc. Hamilton and Sainz, 6 through 10, are Norris, Ocon, Russell, Alonso, and Tsunoda. This is very comparable to the actual world championship standings, other than Ocon being in 7th.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, and then 11 through 15 are Piastri, Gasly, Magnussen, Hulkenberg, and Albon, and then 16 through 21 are Stroll, Behrman, Sargeant, Ricardo, Zhou, and Bottas. Zhou and Bottas still have yet to score points, as well as Ricardo. Brutal, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see if Ollie Behrman does not finish last this year. I don't know if that's even possible, but, I mean, looking at Sauber, I think it's possible. With one race, Behrman might not finish last in the championship for pit stops, which is nuts.
Bro's not even going to finish last in the championship for the regular season.
Oh, assuredly not. No, he will not finish last in the championship for the regular season. I feel like the pit stop is a little more crazy, though, because it's a lot less dependent on skill over the course of 2 hours.
Yeah.
But regardless, moving on to the constructors, we have Red Bull way out in front, followed by Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren, and Alpine. Then we have Aston Martin, RB, Haas, Williams, and Sauber. I think Haas has already scored more points this season in the pit stop championship than they have the entirety of last season, so progress.
Yeah, this is the biggest W Alpine's going to have is on our made-up pit stop championship.
Honestly, yeah. And speaking of common Alpine L's, let's move on to the overtake of the week. I give this to Yuki Tsunoda for his overtake on Pierre Gasly on lap 14 of the Japanese Grand Prix. This was the one around the outside of turn 6. It was pretty nuts. Obviously, he had a massive grip difference because he started... He didn't even start the overtake until they were like a quarter of the way into turn 6, which, if you don't know, turn 6 is a very long, downhill, off-camber right-hander. Very tricky corner to get right. And then he just sailed by him. It was pretty crazy.
Yep. We'd love to see the home field passes.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's move on to our predictions, Ben, for last week and the Japanese Grand Prix. Let's remind everybody of the top 5. It was Verstappen, Perez, Sainz, Leclerc, and Norris. Tell me who you had in the top 5, Ben.
Predictions this week is a strong word. I would say... It's more of a firing a shotgun into a dark room.
Yeah.
I did get Verstappen. So that's a little confidence booster, I guess. But then I had Sainz, Leclerc, Perez, Alonso, and Tsunoda as my dark horse. Tsunoda did score points. I'll take it.
This is true.
But my top five are all messed up.
Yep. We got Verstappen right. I had Verstappen. Then I had Sainz second and Norris third and Leclerc fourth and Piastri fifth. If I didn't shade Perez so hard last time, I might have gotten a lot more of these correct.
Yeah.
But
guys, listen, I am not the one who throws the most shade at Perez. It's Nathan. You have to believe me.
I probably do throw more shade at Perez than you do. That's probably accurate. But, well, stop getting me sidetracked, Ben. I don't hate Perez. He's just not. Anyway, then I had Russell as my dark horse. Fastest lap went to Max Verstappen. What did you say, Ben?
I had Leclerc for this one.
I had the other Ferrari of Sainz, and neither of which happened. And then driver of the day went to Charles Leclerc. What'd you have?
Just threw Alonso out there.
And I had Albon. Yeah, no.
Opposite day. Honestly, I don't really get why Leclerc had driver of the day.
I mean,
that was one of the weaker picks for me, to be honest.
I think it's because he had such a good strategy, which, again, is more on his team than him. He did almost bottle the car a couple of times. I don't know. I don't know who I would have given driver of the day.
I think Tsunoda actually had a really good race.
Tsunoda, definitely.
I know it's cliche to give the home team driver, or the home country driver of the day when they're at their home race, but I feel like he actually had a really good race, and I know he doesn't get noticed as much because the car doesn't place as high, but I think comparatively, given the car, I think he was probably my strongest contender.
I think he had the best race of everybody, and regardless of whether it was his home race or not, I think he deserved some recognition there, and I think he was second place, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our predictions for IndyCar next week or 2 weeks from now. We are at the Grand Prix of Long Beach, one of my favorite races of the year. So, Long Beach. Oh, boy.
Here we go.
We're swapping here, or at least you're taking my usual go-to pick. So, pole position, Ben, who do you think is going to get it?
Yeah, I was really surprised he didn't have a word for pole position. Especially with how strong he looked in Petersburg.
Yeah. So, you have Pato O'Ward on pole. I have Grosjean on pole. He is always pretty good here. Has finished second, I think, the last 2 years. So, I think Grosjean's got pole this year. And then a podium. Let me hear your podium, Ben.
I've got Herta, Dixon, and Lundgaard on the podium. Lundgaard's kind of my dark horse for this one.
Solid choices there. I have Grosjean, Dixon, and Kirkwood. Of course, Kirkwood won the race last season. Grosjean is always strong here, and then Scott Dixon is Scott Dixon. So that is my reasoning there. And then winning number of pit stops. What do you got, Ben?
I have three for this one.
I have two, and I think I've got you on this one.
I think you probably do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was almost tempted just to put all three Penske boys just straight down the line, but I figured I should give some other drivers a shot. But that Penske team's looking so strong this year.
Very strong, yeah. Newgarden and Power and
yeah,
all of them. All right. Moving on to the Chinese Grand Prix in Formula One, 2 weeks from Sunday. Well, last Sunday, 1 week from this Sunday, if my English doesn't fail me. What do you got for your top five, Ben?
I've got Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez, Sainz, and Alonso, with Tsunoda as my dark horse. We're actually on the Tsunoda hype train now.
We are on the Tsunoda hype train. I have Verstappen, Perez, Sainz, Norris, and Leclerc with Hamilton as my dark horse.
That is
how
so
the
mean.
Mighty have fallen. Wow. I don't know if it's mean. I mean, let's be real, Ben. Is Hamilton... Oh, man, this might be mean.
Is Hamilton going to get a podium this year? Let's think.
Ooh. I think so.
That's actually more confidence than I had in him, so good for you.
Yeah, no, I might be rescinding my confidence,
I was just
going
to say no.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, after think, I mean, my first thought was, yeah, Hamilton will have a podium. It's Hamilton. But then I thought about it, and
It's like, well, I guess we'll
yeah,
find. I
I
mean,
don't know.
20 races is a long ways to go, but
But Mercedes is not even
if he has
close.
to fight a Red Bull and a Ferrari and Aston
And a
Martin and
McLaren.
McLaren
Yeah.
to the podium, I he was a
I
good racing
mean,
car driver, but
when you're in the fifth fastest car, your goal is to score points. Yeah, I don't know
Hamilton
if we're gonna
being
see.
relegated to just scoring points for the team is insane to me still.
Yeah, well, he's moving to Ferrari next year, so we'll see what happens there. Could be wrong. Let's not start like flaming Hamilton like we do with Perez, because that's gonna make people a lot more angry, I think.
Hamilton fans are insane.
Let's not flame Hamilton fans either, because
If they're Hamilton
because
fans
you're
are
right.
insanely cool and rational.
Yep, and don't hold grudges. All right, fastest lap. Who do you got, Ben?
I've got Leclerc for this one.
Okay, I have Verstappen.
I'm
And
counting on
then
maybe Verstappen forgetting to set a fastest lap
maybe
and
he
Leclerc
forgets,
just
yeah.
sneaking in there.
Right, driver of the day. Who do you got?
I got Verstappen.
And I
I
have
couldn't think.
Alonso.
Oh, there you go. I couldn't think of a good reason for anybody else to have driver of the day, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard when you don't. I mean, I don't know. These are all guesses anyway. Predictions is a strong word when it comes to F1, unless it's Verstappen. All right. Now we have a question from last episode to answer, Ben.
Oh
Aren't you
boy.
excited? I don't know if you've thought about this or read this at all
I
before.
have thought about it.
Okay. So the
We'll see what you
question.
think of my answer.
Question comes from, once again, Omega Echo Kane. You too can get in on this in this question process. If you want to comment on our YouTube videos, send us a DM, most likely on Instagram is where I'll see it the quickest. So until then, my lovely coworker will have
Fill
the
in the
control
gaps.
of the question board. All right. This is a good one. Very juicy question. Has to do with racing, which is, of course, very fun. Who is your favorite Mario Kart character and why? All right, Ben, should I go first or should you
No,
go
I'll go
first?
first,
Okay.
because I actually have never owned, I had a Wii, never owned Mario Kart for it. And I've never had a Nintendo gaming system since. So I only play Mario Kart when I'm at a friend's house. And I usually choose Waluigi because nobody else chooses him. And he's just a silly little guy.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I don't play a lot of Mario Kart either. Shockingly, my go-to game on any Nintendo console I've ever owned, and pretty much the only game I ever really play on Nintendo consoles is Super Smash Bros.
There you go.
So Mario Kart is not in my wheelhouse. I did play a lot of it on the Wii though, and my go-to character was always Drybones.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
That's
because
the
I've always
reason.
liked Koopa Troopa, but of course skeletons are cool, so
There you go. What's cooler than a
Drybones.
skeleton version of your favorite character?
Yeah, of course. So
Yeah.
Drybones is my go-to because skeletons are cool. And
Come back when you have Helldivers questions for us.
yeah, I don't think she'll have Helldivers questions, man. It's
But it's such a
possible.
good game. Oh my gosh.
I
I
need
could
to get
start a
it.
podcast about Helldivers. Andreas and I have been playing, and it's so good. It's cinematic, actually,
I know, I
in
need
a way that
to.
I've never seen a game be before.
It looks very good. I need to get it. I just, yeah.
And it's only $40.
I know, but
It's
I'm
cheaper than most
poor.
other games.
Yes. Yeah, but I play Magic, which is much more expensive than most other games.
Okay.
But yes, that is on my list for sure. Probably the next video game that I will buy. Well, unless college football comes out before that. That NCAA football game is gonna be,
No.
yes, it's my
Not
go-to.
the NCAA football game.
It's coming back, Ben, after 10 years off.
No.
We've been waiting for this.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We lost him.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But racing games, football games, even though I don't play Madden because I don't like Madden, I always loved the NCAA games. And we are getting, once again, very sidetracked. But it's okay. We had a question about video games, so we will count this as part of that. All right, moving on. I am very intrigued by Ben's words of wisdom he has on this script, so I will let you take it away, Ben.
Yeah. So, you may have noticed that unless there's, like, crazy... Okay, let me start off. When you buy a phone from, like, Verizon or AT&T and you get one of those money-back deals where it's, like, you get $1,000 off, but you're locked into, like, a 3-year contract where you slowly get that $1,000 balance paid back to you on your, like, your essentially your monthly payments, it sucks. And you're locked into just using that carrier and that phone. You can't sell it because you're locked into the carrier. So what I've started doing is just buying my phones unlocked. I just wait for when there's a sale on the phone. Maybe it's, you know, a last generation phone, but phones have gotten so good. If you buy a phone that's 1 or 2 generations old, it's fine. It's so usable. I'm running an S22 Ultra right now and it's great. Point is, I keep my phones instead of trading them in because the trade-in value, at least on Androids, I know iPhones are a little better on trade-in value, is absolute dog tier. I used to have a Sony Xperia 1 Mark IV that I got for, you know, it was over $1,000, and trade-in a year later was $400, and it's not even worth trading in at that point. Phones have so much more value than that nowadays. So I actually have a couple beater phones, but having a backup phone, a backup smartphone, especially an Android that you can load whatever operating system you want on it, you know, it doesn't have to run all of the latest games and Excel spreadsheets and MATLAB and all that. If it has like a Bluetooth connection, you know, decent GPS bands, a screen that works, and a usable camera, boom, all of a sudden you have a universal remote in your home for whatever smart devices you have. You have a phone where if you have a Bluetooth speaker that you want to have outside at a party, you don't have to keep losing connection with your own phone or leave your own phone out by the speaker. You just leave your beater phone with Spotify on it, and that's connected. You can use it for, you know, GPS when you go off-roading, or use it as a data tracker when you go to the racetrack. It's so useful just to have a beater phone. And if you don't have one, you can get like a cheap Samsung with great GPS coverage, great Bluetooth for like $100 used or even new if you get it right.
Yeah, so, Walmart has very cheap cell phones.
Yep, you don't have to activate it. Just get a phone that has the connectivity, camera, screen, a little bit of storage. If it has expandable storage, even better. Put it in the strongest, ugliest case you can get and just use it for whatever you need. It's so freeing to be able to just have like that extra connectivity without having to be tied to your main phone or put your main phone in danger of being broken.
Awesome. I love it, Ben. We're out here living in 2024 and you're living in 3024.
Yeah, absolute, I love collecting smartphones. I have so many smartphones.
Absolute 5-head gigabrain move right there.
Thank you. I record this podcast on that Sony Xperia 1 Mark IV, and it lets me use my other phone for other things.
There you go. Practical use right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's very... interesting words of wisdom, but very good one. I mean, I never really thought of phones that way. I think most people don't. I still have 2 of my old cell phones that I haven't touched in years. They're in boxes somewhere, but I never even would have thought about that whole problem where you walk away from your Bluetooth speaker and then it starts cutting out.
Yeah, it's such like a simple thing, but it happens so often that it's nice to have.
Yeah, for sure. So great stuff, Ben. Great words of wisdom this week. Practical for everybody, a little more than soldering, but still very good. I think soldering applies to a lot more people in our future audience than normal people. Not that our audience is not normal people. I'm going to stop talking.
You guys are so normal. Don't worry. Don't listen to them.
Don't listen to me. That's not
you're
why you're
the
here.
Most normal, unless you're special, in which case you're so special, but in all the normal ways.
Yeah, listen to the podcast, but don't listen to me. just listen to Ben, because he is the one with the words of wisdom.
Unless I'm giving financial advice.
Don't listen to Ben if he's giving financial or medical advice.
Financial advice.
Or legal advice. Yeah. None of the advice. We don't give advice on this podcast. That's not what we're here for. We are here to shade on Sergio Perez. That's why we're here. But anyway.
Not enough to shade Hamilton yet, but we'll get there.
We're working our way up. Small bits at a time. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode and watching this episode. If you are on YouTube or Rumble, if you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on, and subscribe and follow depending on the platform you're listening / watching on. If you want to see updated standings from IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. You can follow Ben on all of the socials, well, Instagram at the very least, at BenjiMeetsWorld. You can follow myself on Instagram at 2n_squared. And then you can follow the RevHang page on all of the socials at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the IndyCar Grand Prix of Long Beach, one of our favorites, and the Formula One Chinese Grand Prix in Shanghai. But until then, I've been Nathan.
Oh, dang it. I'm Ben.
You jumped the gun, Ben.
You switched it up into script.
I did. I kind of went off script a little bit. I'm sorry. Anyway, we will end now, approximately.
Get out of here.
Yes. Thanks for listening.